Oh, I wanted to ask about the history of the development of the Mountain Air Bike Skills Park.
Yes, we had a lot of input in that. And it was a lot of fun working with it. And Jay Hoots, who is the designer of it. And when it opened, it was, we were very proud of what was developed there.
And what was the reason for developing that park?
Well, originally it's to satisfy the needs of skills and development. Like on the mountains, I think Dead Moped is a very beginner one. And then between that and the Coles, there's no real area to develop skills. So there you can develop jumping skills and riding berms. And
I understand that one reason behind it was to keep mountain bikers from actually creating their own little skills parks.
Well, we did create one.
In the woods.
Yeah, we did create one in the woods that still stands.
Oh, where is that?
It's right at the junction between Dead Moped and there's you can go there and there's a bunch of log rides and all kinds of stuff there.
And Parks is okay with that
one?
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of grandfathered in.
That's great. But were some structures actually removed?
Yeah, as I said before, some of ours were removed before we started building. And it's too bad because a lot of work went into them. They're very well built. It took them a long time to take them down.
And so the skills park was to replace those?
Yeah. And that's where we hold our clinics for the kids.
Okay, right. So you say that you were saying that Jay Hoots was the designer of the park. Tell me
designer
a bit
and builder.
About tell me a bit about him.
Well, he is one of the most famous free riders in the world. Very skilled, and it was interesting because some of us from the bike club went up to Whistler and took an extreme mountain biking camp, and he was one of the teachers. And that's where I first kind of met him. So then when he was down here building, it was just great to talk to him and to see how the difference in the level of how good he is.
How did he get involved? Was he actually hired by Parks?
Yeah.
Well, he was.
He started his own company of building these parks, and so he was one of the names and one of the ones that we approved of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have some stories about the construction, the process of the construction?
Not really. I mean, it was done very quickly, very efficiently. And opening day, the big wall ride, I think it's about 10 feet high. And you come down and you ride the wall, and I'd never done anything like that. And so Jay just says, you want to get as high on the wall as you can. And so he told us to follow him. And you're going in, and you're going much faster than I'd ever thought you would. And at the transition, when you hit the transition, you're forced into your bars, and all of a sudden you're up, and you're right near the top of the wall. And I got a great picture at home of me coming around the wall, and like you're up there, and it was absolutely spectacular.
Oh, gosh.
It was hard to duplicate that on your own because it seems like so much speed going in.
Uh-huh. Hey, have you done it again?
Yeah, numerous times now.
So I guess that would be one of the real success things about the park is people finding that they can do things that they
Oh yeah, and the jumps start out small and you get bigger and bigger, so you realize that, you know, once you conquered the small one, they can go to the next one. And now here's just a story of this friend of mine, Beat. These were fashioned, there's at Whistler, they have a skills thing just like this, so you can practice these jumps. And we were practicing and practicing and practicing, and we just didn't seem to be getting it down. So Pete said, we're not going fast enough. So he just gave it, and when he went off, his tires were probably as high as this. When he landed on the flats, and he sat in his tire, and it pulled his pants down around his ankles. And I'll never forget him running around trying to pull his pants up, and it was right underneath the chairlift at Whistler, and people were just roaring.
Oh, dear.
I mean, if that was on video, it just would have been priceless.
Yes. Actually, what makes the Bike Skills Park a success?
Well, originally we were concerned about location because it's kind of its destination rather than being able to ride to it. Originally, where we were going, thought it was going to be, it was you could ride to it and kids could ride to it. So our concern was that.
Oh, because there was another site considered for
it? Yeah.
Where was that?
It was over on facing Hastings.
Is that Burnswood?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Just up off of there.
So that was never developed then?
Well, we talked with, they had an open house with people from the area, mm-hmm. and there's concerns around it. So when you put it around there, the concerns were gone, but it's amazing how many kids you see riding down Barnett Highway to go to the skills park.
Oh, and is there a bike lane? And it's
It's quite wide on the side. There's lots of bikes that go there, but yeah. My friend, his kids all go there, and they go there for the day. They take their lunches. And
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there is a trail that goes along the bottom of the mountain. What is it called? Has something to do with a hat.
Hang Your Hat. Yeah.
So was that built later then?
Yeah, it was built, well, around the same time. It was completed later than the bike park, I think a year later.
So is that how the Skills Park is kind of joined in with the network around the mountain?
I don't think it's completely joined in yet. That's a separate standalone trail that goes out from there.
Oh, okay. Well, eventually the Skills Park?
That's the plan for it, yeah.
Is to have a network.
Yeah.
Tell me about the opening ceremonies for the park.
Oh, it was a beautiful sunny day. And, of course, we had Jay Hoots there who put on a demonstration, and lots of counselors there and all kinds of kids.
So it was very well supported by the city then.
It was, yeah.
Now, why would that be?
I don't know, because at one point I met the risk manager, and I mean, the risk manager and mountain bikers, just we don't see risk in the same way. And so we were concerned about that, and I think he was left out of the development of the park. And when the city came, they were very pleased at the reception, the kids that were there, and so it was nice,
yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, that's great. Now, the Bike Skills Park is located on the old gun club target range.
Yeah.
Now, do you know any of the history of the target range?
I don't know how it was developed or anything, but I mean, I'm opposed to guns. And so I was one of the ones who said it should be closed down. And that was before it was going to be a bike park.
Right, because when the conservation area was, when the land transfer occurred, then the conservation area created, it was decided that the target ranges were inappropriate.
Yeah.
I guess in part the noise, but as you say, would people have also just felt that it was wrong to shoot guns?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's interesting because recreation is often a way that people forge links to the land.
Yeah.
And kind of develop a sense of place. And so in what ways does mountain biking do that?
I think when you're out there, you really appreciate nature. You know, you develop the skills, and Burning Mountain's a place where you can develop the skills, and then you can go anywhere in the province, and these trails can take you for miles and miles and miles, and you feel confident in that you can do it. You can change your own tire if you get a flat, you can fix your bike, you can fix your chain, and you don't feel intimidated by the by nature. I think that's a...
I just thought it was interesting, and maybe I'll ask you if you feel it's significant that mountain biking has replaced target shooting in this. Is it a change in how we see ourselves?
I think it is. I mean, I understand that people hunt and so they need to sight their rifles and things like that, but this was more of a sport range where people were just shooting. And I mean, the damage to the environment from the lead, from the bullets and things like that all had to be cleaned up. And I know when I was giving the speech, I thanked all the people who laid their guns down so this bike thing was possible. And I think that's an important issue. And I think it's a much healthier group that's using it than was before.
Oh, okay. I understand they didn't lay their target guns down.
No,
they weren't very happy about it. Do you think that part of the reason they weren't happy is because they felt devalued? I mean, it wasn't just the practical aspect of noise, but they're really being told that they're, you know, what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a large group of people who do target practice. I mean, it's sport in the Olympics. And so I understand all that. But, you know, I think that close to the city as well. I mean, they have target range, strangely enough, up on Burke Mountain, where we do a lot of mountain biking as well. And as you're riding, you can hear the guns going off. And I guess that probably is in danger now with all the development going up there. And we've also started a club up there to work on the trails.
And is that something that you'll lobby against then? Is the, no, actually hunting up there? Is there a target range?
There's a target range up there.
There's a target range.
No, we won't actively lobby against it. I mean, it's not anywhere near the trails, even though you can hear it. It's,